My name is Garland Robinson. We want to speak today concerning some things we need to know in order to become children of God. Things we need to know to be children of God. One, we need to understand that God exists. That is, God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. God is there. We need to understand that sin is a violation of God's will. God has a divine law, and those who violate that law will have to suffer for it. They will be punished unless they receive forgiveness of that sin. We need to understand that sin separates one from God. If we die separated from God, then we will be forever separated from Him, and we'll be consigned to that place where the devil is and where God is not. And so we certainly want to be with God. And in order to have that sin that separates us from God to be removed, then we have to obey God's will. That is, we understand His will. We recognize what His will is. And very basically, that is simply that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. We must believe that. Then, repenting of our sins, confessing faith in Him as the Son of God, we can be baptized for the forgiveness of our sins. We need to recognize and understand that only in Jesus can one have forgiveness of sins, and only there will we be able to be saved. Then we need to understand also that we must become a part of the body of Christ, that we are a part of the body, a people that are separate and distinct from the world. God's always demanded His people be separate from the world. It was to Israel that God said back in the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, chapter 20 and verse 24, I am the Lord your God, which have separated you from other people. God's people are different. They're different because their attitude is different. Their goal and intent in life is to not please themselves, but to please God. In the New Testament, we read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17, Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. So God has always demanded there be a separation from the old and the new, a separation from the sinful and the righteous. We read about Peter on the first Pentecost after the resurrection of Christ. You remember that's the day the Church of Christ began. And on that day, he preached the first gospel sermon in all the world. And there were those who desired to know what to do to have forgiveness of their sins. They were pricked in their heart. They were remorseful for what they had done. Peter had preached unto them that they had by their wicked hands have crucified and slain the Son of God. They felt guilty, and they wanted forgiveness, and they cried out and said, Sirs, what shall we do? And we read the answer to that in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. We read in verse 40, And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And we read, And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved, in verse 47. All right, one needs to understand that sin separates from God, and only by forgiveness of that sin can one be joined again with God. And when we're joined again with God, we become a people of God. We become a part of the body of Christ. There is only one body, and we read that that is the body to which the Lord adds those who are saved. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4, we read there is one body. And we read the same thing in Ephesians 2 verse 16, Romans 12 and verse 5, and 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 13. That one body is His church. It's not a man-made institution. It's not a denomination of men, but it is His body over which He is the head, that it is the church. In Ephesians chapter 1 and verses 22 and 23, and then in Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18, two verses here, both of them speaking the same thing, saying that Jesus is the head of the body, the church, and that His body is the church, and that He is the head of it. It's said in reverse order both times. The body of the saved is known in Romans chapter 16 and verse 16 as the church of Christ. And those congregations of the Lord's body, wherever they meet, in numerous places, are grouped together and referred to as churches of Christ, simply because there are local congregations meeting in different places. We understand the Lord's church is the called out. That is, it's been called out of the world. And they've been to live a separate life unto God, unto the Lord. We read in Colossians 1 and verse 13, "For the Lord hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son." This passage also reveals that the body of saved, that is the church, is also called the kingdom. Jesus used the words kingdom and church interchangeably in Matthew 16 and verse 18 and 19. You remember when Jesus told Peter, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I'll give unto thee the keys of the kingdom." In verse 18, he uses the word church. In verse 19, he uses the word kingdom. They're used interchangeably. Whenever we speak of the church of Christ, we are equally speaking of the kingdom of Christ. And if we speak of the kingdom of Christ, we're also having reference to the church of Christ. It is His because He is the Savior of it. We read in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23, "For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body." When we imagine then the Lord saving His body, His church, we think of it as a spiritual thing. It's not one that we can see with our eyes. It's not an address on the street or in some city, but it's a spiritual thing. And those who are physical or material beings, such as you and I, we can make up that spiritual body by our faithfulness and by our obedience to the gospel of Christ. And when one repents of their sins, confesses the sweet name of Jesus, and is immersed into water for the forgiveness of sins, God takes that one and adds them to that spiritual body. And since Jesus is the Savior of the body, we read that in Ephesians 5:23, we understand those who are not in the body, those who are outside the body, will be lost. If the Lord is going to save those in the body, that is, those that are in Him, those are the ones who are saved, then those who are outside will be lost. The logical question then would be, how do I become a member of the body of Christ? How do I get into the body of Christ? Will I get into the body of Christ when the Lord puts me there? It's not something I join. It is something the Lord adds. Again, when we read in Acts chapter 2 and verse 47, those who had obeyed the gospel, those who humbled themselves, rendered obedience to the Lord, he said, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That is, the Lord added them to His body. If the saved are in the body, the Lord added them. So if that's how I get into the body, let's ask the question, when does the Lord add me or you or whomever into the body? He adds us when we're baptized. Notice in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, "For we're all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ." When did we put on Christ? That verse says when we're baptized. When do we get into Christ? When we put Him on. But when do we put Him on? Well, it's when we're baptized, when we're immersed into water for the forgiveness of sins. All right, let's back up and look at it again. Number one, we find that the body of Christ is the church of Christ. It is His spiritual body. He is going to save that spiritual body. Well, I must be in that body if I am going to be saved. You must be in that body if you're going to be saved. So how do I get in the body? The Lord adds me. He adds me when I am baptized into water. Nowhere do you read in the Scriptures that the Lord adds one simply when they believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Belief is essential, but that's not when the Lord adds them to His body. We read that one must repent of their sins in order to be in the body. But yet, repentance is not what puts one into the body. It's when an individual is baptized. We read that confessing faith in Christ is essential to being in the body. But yet, it's not when we confess that the Lord adds us to the body. That's not when we get into it. But it's when we are baptized. The Lord said, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. How do I get into the body? The Lord adds me. When does He add me? When I'm baptized for the remission of my sins. When were those on the day of Pentecost added to the body? It's when they gladly received the word and were baptized. Now notice this in Acts 2 and verse 41. And the Lord added them to the church, the body. So what must I know and understand in order to go to heaven? I need to know and understand that the God in heaven is the same one of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the one we read about through all the Bible. And He's the one that we must serve. We must humble ourselves before. And when we believe Him, we'll believe in His Son, Jesus Christ, who is the Redeemer, the Messiah, the Savior of all mankind, but only to those who believe and obey. He will save His body one day, and I must be in the body. You must be in the body to be saved. How do I get into the body? The Lord adds me there. I don't join the body or join the church, as so many people talk about it, but the Lord adds me. But when does He add an individual? It's when they're baptized. Isn't that so plain? Isn't that so simple? Ephesians 5:23, the Lord is the Savior of the body. My name is Garland Robinson.